Aren't sure where to start? Then tune in to Ask the Expert on the Mighty 690 as we feature Jeannie Haynes from Natural Food Center. At 8:10 a.m. on the first and third Thursday of each month, Jeannie will talk about vitamins, supplements, and healthy living. Plus, she'll answer your questions. Learn all about organic eating and more by tuning in to Ask the Expert with Jeannie from Natural Food Center this Thursday on the Mighty 690 KGGF.
And good morning, everybody. You're listening to the Mighty 690 KGGF Kyle High with you this morning. Hope everybody is having a good day out there. Currently 64 degrees. Joining us on the line now is the Attorney General of the State of Kansas. We have Derek Schmidt. Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
I'm well. Good morning, Kyle.
Well, it's good to hear from you today, sir. So let's go over a few topics. And one of the ones that that I saw this morning that I wanted to go over was, unfortunately, scammers, they will reach new lows, and there is a new scam that targets survivors seeking FEMA assistance for funeral expenses.
That's true. You know, FEMA, the Federal Emergency Management Agency, announced fairly recently that there are some new federal benefits available for families who lost loved ones to COVID. Essentially, there's a federal benefit that can pay some or all of the funeral expenses for COVID victims. And naturally, whenever there's headlines talking about new federal money available to people, there are always crooks, criminals, and scammers who want to take advantage of that headline. And so one brand of scam that's grown up around this is a type of government impersonation scam. The bad guys contact by text or email or telephone call families that they know to have lost loved ones to COVID, and they offer for a price to help those families pay for or file for the FEMA benefit. And, of course, you don't have to pay anything for obtaining FEMA benefit if you qualify. And nobody from the government is going to reach out and affirmatively contact you and encourage you to apply for these burial benefits. A different variation on that scam is the bad guys don't want you to pay them anything, but when they contact you, they say that you have to provide them certain information in order to get your benefits. So they get your name, your Social Security number, maybe a bank account number. They say it's for a direct deposit. And then, of course, they use that to commit identity theft. And so nobody from the government's going to contact you and offer to help you apply for a FEMA burial benefit. Don't be taken in by that.
All right. And like I said, scammers, it just seems like they go to new lows sometimes, especially when you have a family that just lost a loved one and they go through something like that. The legislation, they passed an opioid settlement funds to help fight the drug epidemic, and it sounds like this is a good thing.
I think it is, Kyle. We've talked about this before on your show, that our office has been involved in litigation with several of the major drug companies, both the manufacturers and the distributors, as well as some other companies involved in the distribution chain. We've been involved with that now for a couple of years, and essentially our accusations are that they knowingly or with willful indifference participated in the over-marketing of opioids, not to try to ease pain or to make people better, but to make more money for themselves, and hid essentially what they knew to be the extraordinarily addictive nature of opioids, especially back in the early 2000s. That resulted in the addiction crisis that we're still dealing with today. So that litigation has been ongoing. We are now starting to draw some of those cases near or to a close. We've actually just reached a couple of months ago, we reached the first settlement with one of these companies, brought $4.8 million to Kansas, and we think that's the first of several that are coming. And so the issue now is, what will Kansas do with those funds? And we asked the legislature to enact a statute that governs the use of these recovered opioid litigation funds and essentially targets all of them to, almost all of them, to substance abuse treatment, addiction prevention, and other things that can really help to break the cycle of addiction. After all, these are funds that were the ill-gotten gains of companies that contributed to the addiction crisis. That legislation has passed the legislature. It's on the governor's desk. I'm hopeful she will sign it. It passed the Senate unanimously. In the House, it was actually a much closer vote than I expected. It's because some of the private plaintiff's attorneys got involved and were a bit frustrated that, I'm going to characterize what I think, it's going to cost them money down the road because we're going to be able to resolve some of these cases without them being hired. But whatever their motives, I'm hopeful the governor will see fit to sign this into law so we can get these funds into the hands of local treatment facilities, local drug abuse prevention and counseling services, and actually do some good for Kansas.
Absolutely. Hopefully she will sign that soon. This one, because I have kids who are 11 and 13, so this is the one that kind of worries me a little bit. Facebook, they're wanting to start basically a children's version of Instagram. And right now, you've joined this coalition to hopefully urging Facebook to abandon those plans.
Well, I hope they will. What a terrible idea. I mean, social media, it sort of sucks the lifeblood out of you. And it becomes really a form of addiction for many people. Obviously not for everybody, but for many people. That's why currently, Facebook's policy is you can't have the young kids, the under 13s, you can't have them on the platform. I think that's a good thing. Have a childhood without a cell phone in your hand all the time, trying to figure out what's on Instagram or whatever it may be. But now Facebook wants to come back and create a brand new social media platform that's specifically designed for young kids. And, of course, their argument is, well, we'll make sure that the content is properly curated and they don't have access to things they shouldn't have access to, and therefore it's a good thing, they say, because it'll help protect young kids. Well, you know how you protect young kids? You keep them off the platform entirely in the first place. So we don't view this as a good development. We think it's just another way for, in this case, Facebook, but the major social media companies to try to get their market cultivated with younger and younger and younger American kids. And so we've told them that, and I'm really hopeful they will reconsider. I think it's just a terrible idea. Go have a childhood.
Absolutely. And the other thing you'd have to worry about is you'd have probably some people on there who say they're 13, but they may actually be child predators, which can be very, very worrisome.
Well, absolutely, and that happens now, but of course part of the cure for that is you keep the younger kids off of the platform. Mm-hmm. If you have a platform that's specifically designed to have lots of younger kids on it, you can bet that the predators and the other bad guys who want access to those kids are going to do their best to find ways around security measures and get onto the platform. So it's just a bad idea.
Absolutely, I agree with you on that one. And recently you have appointed a new head of Consumer Protection and Antitrust Division.
I have. Our most recent head of the division, Kate Carter, who is a retired judge from North Central Kansas. Kate is now retired from state service. We were sorry to see her go, but she did a terrific job, and we're very happy for her moving on into retirement. But I've just appointed Fran Olean as the new division head. I've actually known Fran for 20 years. We served together as consumer protection attorneys way back in the Stovall administration, and actually Fran is originally from Parsons, although she hasn't lived there in many, many years. She's now a retired National Guard officer and an attorney for the Guard. So I think she's going to be terrific, and grateful she stepped up, and looking forward to her leadership to continue to protect Kansas consumers.
And one of the last things I would like to discuss with you about is you're urging President Biden to support additional energy infrastructure projects, because as of right now, of course, we have the gas shortage on the East Coast. We got to find out more ways to improve that energy infrastructure.
Well, thankfully, we're not on the East Coast right now.
True.
With the hacking by, it appears, foreign actors and ransom lockdown of that major pipeline that carries refined fuels from the Gulf Coast up to the East Coast market. Now, the price of gas in some of those East Coast markets is now running around $7 a gallon. And in a lot of places, you can't get it for any price because there simply is no gasoline available. That just shows how thin our energy delivery infrastructure really is in this country. So we use the opportunity to point out to the Biden administration, you know what, this is a good illustration of why we need more, not less, pipeline and other energy delivery infrastructure. It's another good reason the president ought to reconsider his decision to cancel the Keystone XL pipeline that would have brought raw petroleum down from Canada for manufacturing here in the United States, refining here in the United States. I really wish he'd take another look at that. Even some of his own energy people have said this last week, that pipelines are the most efficient and safest way to move petroleum products around in the country. Well, that's what we've been saying from the start, and that's why we think that they ought to get some of these barriers out of the way and allow the market to dictate where we build some pipelines to move fuel to where it's actually needed. It's important for consumers, and it's important at the pump.
And like you're saying, it's we were lucky not to be on the East Coast because they pretty much got crippled recently because there were lots of gas stations actually running out of gas. And like you said, some places were charging $7 for gas. And that's another question I wanted to ask you. Could that not be considered price gouging when there's an emergency like that?
Well, it depends upon the state law that's in effect in that particular state, and it depends upon whether there's actually a state of emergency that's been declared. So it's very state specific. In Kansas, the answer would be maybe yes if there were a declared emergency by the governor. But of course, we haven't been affected, thankfully, by that because we're not supplied by that particular pipeline that was hit.
All right. Well, sir, thank you so much today for joining us. We really do appreciate it. And we will talk to you again next month. And I hope you have a fantastic day.
Thanks, Kyle. Take care. Good to visit with you.
All right. It's good to visit with you, too. That is Derek Schmidt, the Attorney General of the state of Kansas. And we're going to go ahead and take a quick break. But when we come back, we'll have news for you at the top of the hour. And then at around 8:10, we will have Lisa Wilson from the Independence Chamber of Commerce stepping into studio today to visit with us as well. So keep it locked here on the Mighty 690 KGGF here on this Tuesday morning in Southeast Kansas.